Please open up your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4. You may have seen in the email, I think I saw in the email, it said Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. And some of you may have got excited and encouraged, for Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25 says, "Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her." So we'll be in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25 this morning. Although in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, perhaps God wanted us to hear that again, for us husbands to indeed love our wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. We will be in Ephesians chapter 4 this morning. We're also going to be in the book of Acts for a moment, just giving you a heads up. And I will turn also to the book of Revelation, which is the last book in the Bible. So Ephesians is right after Galatians. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, then Colossians. And the book of Acts is the first book in the New Testament, if you're not familiar. But the book of Ephesians, as we continue on in what the Paul has to say about these sins against one another, ultimately sin against God. 4:25 in Ephesians says, "Therefore, laying aside falsehood, speak truth, each one of you with his neighbor, for we are members of one another." Falsehood, lying. We are taught lies at an early age. Most of us were taught the lie of evolution. If we went to public school, we were taught to believe that man came from animals or apes or whatnot. So we were taught lies early on. The Big Bang Theory, lies we were taught early on. Lies continue into adulthood. Many of us may have heard of get-rich-quick schemes. Some of us may have fallen for those at times in our lives. Many lies this world has for us, lies that they want us to believe. There is nothing like trusting someone, though, and being lied to by them, and then realizing it. Whether it be family, friends, other Christians, whoever it may be. I want to read a quote from a recent sermon by Dr. John MacArthur. When a man who has been in ministry for 50 years preaches, and he says something along these lines, we ought to take note of what this man has to say. Here's what MacArthur says. "We are obviously living in a very bizarre times that have produced massive fear and confusion. This was just a week or so ago. On top of that, our society is drowning in a sea of lies. Lies about virtually everything. And lies on top of fear and confusion create an almost fatal insecurity and devastating chaos. We have little confidence in believing what politicians say, what health officials say, or what social activists say, or what university professors say, or what media says, or frankly, what religious leaders say. We have been lied to so constantly," he says. "And there is one to whom we can trust and always hear the truth. That is to the living God, who has revealed himself on the pages of Scripture. The one true living God, and Scripture says, 'Let God be true and every man a liar.' God is the God of truth. The Son of God is the way, the truth, and the life. Satan, the prince of this world," said Jesus in John 8:44, "is a murderer and a liar," the devil is. And the whole world lies in the lap of the evil one and is therefore bent on killing and lying. So according to John MacArthur, and I believe we could agree, we are living in a time of chaos and lies. But we have a God who cannot lie and who does not lie. And we can always trust in Him, the one true God. And we can always trust in His Word. That is our hope this morning. But when Paul says, therefore, laying aside falsehood, speaking to Christians, laying aside falsehood, but speak truth, each one of you with his neighbors, for we are members of one another. I will read some scriptures for you this morning. Beginning in Exodus chapter 20, verse 16, I believe I referenced this last week. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. Psalm 63, verse 11. The mouths of those who lie will be stopped. Proverbs 14, verse 5. A trustworthy witness will not lie, but a false witness utters lies. Proverbs 14, 25. He who utters lies is treacherous, says the Word of God. Proverbs 19, verse 5. A false witness will not go unpunished, and he who tells lies will not escape. And Proverbs 19, 9. He who tells lies will perish. Some other words that will resonate with us: libel, defamation by written words, malicious words, slander, oral, false, defamatory statements. We think of gossip, idle talk, rumors of private affairs of others when we don't even know if they're true. Then we can have what we see mostly on the internet or social media, whatever it is, lies. We are told here to put aside lying, to lay that aside. Indeed, when we were born again, when those of us in here, when we became Christians, we laid aside the lie of the evil one. We repudiated it. We denounced the devil and his ways and our ways that were like him. And we denounced false gods that we were serving. Then we believed and embraced the truth. Numerous scriptures, as I mentioned before, are similar vernacular as what Paul talks about here in verses 25 through 32. We see that in his other writings. We see what is John Owen called the mortification of sin, the killing of sin, the putting it to death. We see in Colossians 3:8, put them all aside. Hebrews 12:1, lay aside every encumbrance and the sin. James chapter 1, verse 21, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness. 1 Peter 2, 1, putting aside all malice and all deceit. And again, in Ephesians, we have at least five sins here that we are told, describes the old man that we are told to lay aside. For us this morning, we either have lying or we have telling the truth. We think of the old man that we're supposed to lay aside. That is the one before we were converted, before we became Christians, before God opened our eyes. The old man that was dead. If you think of a dead man lying there, that was us. Or a dead woman lying there, that was us. But we still go and we still pick up that coat of that corpse and we put it on. But we're told to throw it down. The new man is only possible by regeneration, by being born again. Renounces the dead man and walks in newness of life. Decisive. permanent, stripping off the old filthy rags, wearing the robes of the king. Laying aside falsehood. Well, what is falsehood? Well, it comes from the Greek word pseudos. Very simply, an untruth, a lie, a conscious and intentional untruth. There are many ways in which this sin manifests itself. Usually we see it with the tongue, with things we say or things we said. Lying, to speak an untruth, to attempt to deceive by falsehood. Where did lying start? Well, with the original liar, Satan. In the garden, when he lied and he said to Eve, "You surely will not die, for God knows that in the day you will eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." He said this even though God said previously, "But from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For the day that you eat from it, you will surely die." Satan twists Scripture. He twists the truth. Here's what Jesus says about the devil in John chapter 8, verse 43 through 47. I'll read it for you. I reference a few of that. And Jesus speaking, when Jesus says something, we either say, "This is true, Jesus is speaking truth." We either say, "Jesus is true, Jesus is the Son of God," or we call Jesus a liar. You cannot be neutral ground with the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, speaking to the people, "Why do you not understand what I am saying to you? It is because you cannot hear my word. You are of your father, the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies." No truth in him, a liar, a father of lies. So for us to lie is to be like the devil himself. Because that's who he is, and that's how his motive of operation. To lie is to have nothing to do with God, for God cannot lie. Do we lie from childhood? Well, Psalms 58, verse 3 says, "The wicked are estranged from the womb. These who speak lies go astray from birth." Now, there are many things that we need to teach children as they grow. When they come out of the womb and they are able to learn, we teach them things. One thing we do not have to teach a child to do is to lie. But unrepentant liars, from children to adults, they get more acquainted, more comfortable, more deceptive with lying, while keeping a countenance about them to where you may not even know. If one lies, they ought not expect to be trusted by anyone. If you were to lie to me, do you really expect me to trust you? And likewise, if I were to lie to you, should you trust me? But liars, they continue to lie, they start with their associate's degree in lying, move on to the bachelor's and then the master's, and then they have the PhD in lying if they're unrepentant with it. All along becoming more hardened, and then becoming callous to where the point to that they get to believe their own lies. Lying becomes normal to liars. Living a lie. We've heard that phrase before. Well, that person, they're living a lie. And I have met, and I'm sure you have met, people in your life who can really tell a whopper. Who can really tell some serious stories. We knew someone one time who was a professing Christian, who was a preacher nonetheless, who could tell a story you would not believe, but everyone believed it. I mean, you could see this man somewhere at a restaurant, and he would make you believe he was not there, even though you talked to him. So this is the type of lying that we encounter sometimes. Compulsive lying. This is not a mental illness. This is depravity. It is wicked. We use a word sometimes of narcissists. Narcissism. Manipulating or dealing in conceit is two attributes of a narcissist. They like to manipulate. And they deal with conceit. But in reality, it is idolatry. Self-worship. Lie to make yourself look better and to avoid consequences. Now, these may be more of an extreme case, but let's look at the lies that are more subtle. White lies, we call them. We know that vernacular, white lies. Little lies that are, that's what white lies are. Of course I remember you, even though you don't remember them. These are examples. I don't know how fast I was going. Stretching the truth. Stretching the truth. I didn't really lie, I stretched the truth, one would say. Embellishing. Dressing up a story to make it look and sound even better, even though the details are not accurate. Or half-truths mixed with untruths. Or when withholding truth, when in fact it is necessary to tell the whole story. Important facts left out. Lying includes every kind of deception, and deception is indeed devilish. Let's go to the book of Acts for a moment. Acts, I meant it's the first book after the Gospels, not the first book in the New Testament, for any of you who caught that earlier who was going to say something to me afterwards. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, and a letter to the Romans. Acts chapter 5. Actually, it would be in 4:36. Now, what was going on? This is the book of Acts, a book of transition, the book of the early church. And what they were doing here is a lot of them were selling what they had and giving the proceeds to the apostles for the work of ministry for the church. And they would distribute it to whoever had need. So look at 4 verse 36. Now Joseph, who was one of these, he was a Levite of Cyprian birth, who was also called Barnabas by the apostles, which translated means son of encouragement. He owned a tract of land, sold it, and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. So this is what he did. Then we have a but, which is a contrast here. But a man named Ananias with his wife Sapphira sold a piece of property and kept back some of the price for himself with his wife's full knowledge, and bringing a portion of it, he laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back some of the price of land while it remained unsold? Did it not remain your own? And after it was sold, was it not under your control? Why is it that you have conceived this deed and in your heart? You have not lied to me, but to God. And as he heard these words, Ananias fell down and breathed his last. And great fear came over all who heard of it. The young men got up and covered him up, and after carrying him out, they buried him. Now there elapsed an interval of about 3 hours, and his wife came in, not knowing what happened. And Peter responded to her, tell me whether you sold the land for such and such a price. And she said, yes, that was the price. Then Peter said to her, why is it that you have agreed together to put the Holy Spirit of the Lord to the test? Behold, the feet of those who buried your husband are at your door, and they will carry you out as well. Boom. And immediately she fell at his feet and breathed her last. Then the young man came in and found her dead, and they carried her out, carried her beside her husband. And great fear came over the whole church and over all who heard these things. I can imagine fear would go over folks who witnessed this and who heard about this. The problem with Ananias was not that he didn't give all to the church, but that he pretended to do so for the praise of man. He pretended to do so when he was actually holding some back. His sin was lying and hypocrisy. Falsehood indeed destroys fellowship in a church, and God took his lying very seriously, as God would take our lies seriously. Other lies, examples. Very thirsty this morning, so bear with me. Other examples of lying. I'll be there, but you don't show up. You don't have any intention to show up. Not that you missed it and you called the person and said, hey, I can't make it. Or, I'll do that. Oh, don't worry about that. Don't buy that because I have one and I can do it for you. And you never hear from the person again. Or you call to get a service at your home. You're willing to pay money for work at your house to a company. And they say, yes, we'll be there tomorrow, 10 o'clock a.m. 10 o'clock comes around, they don't show up. 11, 12, 1, 2. They don't call until later in the afternoon. Or you call them. They say, we'll be there tomorrow morning. Next day, they don't show up. No call, no show. No integrity. Lying, also twisting the words of someone else. Omitting and or adding something to what someone else said. Very easy to do. Happens often when we get defensive about something. When we get defensive, we twist other person's words. Or we could twist other words. I'm not saying we always do. But when we get defensive, some of the walls fall down and the gloves come off. We put words into someone's mouth. Well, you said this. No, I didn't. Twisting truth into something else. The devil is very adept at this. Twisting the scripture, twisting the truth. How about backbiting? Hateful talk. To attack the character or reputation of a person who is not present. To speak slanderously about them when they are not there. How about Potiphar's wife in Genesis? Remember that? When she tried to seduce Joseph and he fled, and then she blamed him and he went to jail. She lied about him, saying it was his intention. Look what these come in here to do. But what Satan meant evil used for good in his life. Recounting things that we do not know to be certain. Or this. Well, rumor on the street. X, Y, Z. Lying gets worse. Hypocrites and chameleons act one way in one setting, completely in another setting. We see this oftentimes with college age young men and young women. Live by the rules at home, live by the devil outside. Goers. Live like, look like, even dress like that we are super saints at church. We get in the car and you and your spouse exchange some very harsh words. You become rude or she becomes rude and true colors start shining through, revealing hard issues. But yet we smiled at every church and everything's okay. Instead of saying, pray for me. Presenting yourself as everything is fine. Parents. When parents lie, they're teaching their children to lie. Children, when you lie to your parents, you're dishonoring God and them. And you want your parents to trust you. Christians, your entire relationship, your character, your testimony, your ability to be trusted can be thrown out with just one lie. Am I right or no? I am old enough, while still being quite young, to remember when a man's word meant something. When you said something, you did it. You could even shake hands on it. You would shake hands on something. And it was as good as done. Now, we realize the importance of contracts and everything. But you'd shake your hands and you knew, okay, this is what's going to happen. This is a deal. Great, you shake hands. Before that, men used to spit in their hand and shake hands. It was really done then. That was a little bit before my time, but I remember we would do that once or twice. You know, oh, that's cool, let's do that, and it was pretty gross. So don't go home and do that. Don't say I encourage you to do that, okay? If you're a fan of The Hobbit, you remember Oakenshield in the town before he went to the mountain, where he was there waiting, and the townspeople... He told them, the townspeople, that they were all share in the gold mountain. But his greed overtook, dragon sickness they called it, and he did not keep his word, vowing not to part with one gold coin. Lying. When you tell someone you paid a different price than what you paid, that's lying. I don't know how it is up here when you buy a vehicle. But in Florida, when you buy a vehicle, you have to pay a certain amount of taxes on it. You have to go to the DMV and you have to sign on there how much you paid for it. You got to pay taxes on it, 6%. I think it is 6%. 7% if you live in a different county. You know what you write on that? Is what you paid for the vehicle. You know what some write on that? $10,000? $500? Pay less taxes. Answer to God for that lie. Think nothing of it. When you fudge a little bit on a document, cheat on taxes. It is deceitful. God takes lying seriously, because God is holy. Lying should not even be named among us Christians. Proverbs 6:16, six things the Lord hates. Think about that. Hate is a very strong word. You know, we don't say to someone, well, I hate you. That's pretty strong. Or we say this or that. There's certain things. But when God hates something, six things the Lord hates, seven which are an abomination to him. The second one is a lying tongue. Haughty eyes and a lying tongue and then a false witness who utters lies. So this is something, these are sins that God, indeed, it is written, he hates. So one who lies simply cannot be trusted. Period. To gain trust is a process where the one who lies tells the truth after he or she forsakes lying. Lying is rooted in depravity. It is rooted in pride. It is saying, I want to be looked at a certain way. I am scared what people will really think. In reality, liars are cowards, insecure. Adults, I'm speaking of. We are lied to continuously. We just turn on the TV. If you have cable, flip through the channels, and you're going to be lied to in a matter of moments. Just a matter of time. You have to have this, they will say. By the internet. If you want to destroy and harm a relationship, lie to someone and keep lying to that person. It is destructive. It is a sin that is grouped with those that Paul lays out in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, with swindlers and cheats, he calls them. And Paul says in Romans chapter 1, verse 25, that men and women exchange the truth of God for a lie. Scary thing is where unrepentant liars end up. Some will say, well, I told a few lies when I was younger and I don't tell any lies anymore. You just have to lie one time. He who breaks the law at one point has become guilty of all. The scary part is where unrepentant liars end up. In Revelation chapter 21 and then 22. Why don't you turn there with me if you have your Bibles. Revelation chapter 21, verse 8. Let's start in verse 5. And he who sits on the throne said, behold, I am making all things new. And he said, write, for these words are faithful and true. Then he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give to the one who thirsts from the spring of the water of life without cost. He who overcomes will inherit these things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But for the cowardly and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and immoral persons and sorcerers and idolaters, and look what we have here, and all liars, their part will be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And then we see Revelation 22. We're right there. Turn over, please, to this. Well, Jesus says in verse 12, behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to render to every man according to what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, he says, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes so that they may have the right to enter the tree of life and may enter by the gates into the city. Outside are the dogs and the sorcerers and the immoral persons and the murderers and the idolaters and everyone who loves and practices lying. This is a very serious sin. God takes it very seriously. And if this describes you, repentance is required. By God's grace, you can be a truth teller. By God's grace, you can be a truthful person. You do not have to lie. You do not have to live a lie anymore. Truth of the matter is, those who live a lie are known by others of the lie that they are living. Even though you may say, I'm fooling some, but we cannot fool God. God is omniscient. He is all-knowing. Lying is believing that God does not care about truth. Proverbs 15:3, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, watching the evil and the good. So why tell the truth? Well, God's word says we are to tell the truth. It's pleasing to the Lord to be truthful people. It's in obedience to Him. We love our neighbors by being truthful to them. People who tell the truth will be trusted or can earn that trust again. You know what it looks like when a liar repents? Radical repentance. Remember that phrase from last time? They first confess their sins of lying. They say, yes, I am a liar or I lied. If you get that kind of confession from someone, that is huge. Yes, I lied. And they repent from their sins. They repent from that lie. And they seek forgiveness from God first and foremost. Then from those who they have sinned against. Now, when somebody who has lied to us truly repents and truly seeks to tell the truth, we ought to embrace them with open arms and start that road of trust again. That doesn't mean everything you say from now on, I am going to believe you. That means the road of trust is starting once again. But it has to start with biblical repentance. And the one who lies, who turns from lying, and who's now truthful, they say, I'm a Christian now. I don't lie anymore, or I don't want to. They can fall back into lying. But the key is, one whose heart has been changed by God cannot and will not live that way. They will forsake the sin, just like any other sin that dominates them. That dominated them when they were dead to sin. I remember a young guy, when I was younger, right after I got saved, I think the time was, and I was talking to him, and he said, what happened to you? You know, you used to always be scheming and this and that. I'll never forget that. You know, thinking back, what in the world was I doing? I don't even want to remember it. But that's something we lay aside. Not even to be named among us. But it doesn't even have to be that depraved as we think of, wow, this person is a compulsive liar. It can be these subtle lies that I laid out. And as Christians, we must put that to death. Are we going to be a people who is truthful regardless of consequences? And I'm not talking about if your wife comes in and says, how does this look? You know, we've all heard that before, and you know, and you say, well, do I tell the truth or do I say the better colors? You know, that's probably not her best color. But truthful, regardless of consequences. It's one thing to not lie anymore, but it's something else to say, now I'm telling the truth. We are more apt to tell the truth when we cultivate a love for the truth, biblical truth. And when we speak the truth, Paul quotes Zechariah here when he says, lay aside falsehood, speak truth, each one of you, with his neighbor. Telling the truth. Remember being under oath, or, you know, you put your hand on the Bible. What do we say? I swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help me God. And when someone lies under oath, we're like, wow, that person lied under oath. But if we lie even when we're not under oath, we're lying before God, how much more of a sin that is. We tell the truth motivated by love for God and love for others. Motivated by love for God, for who He is and what He has done in our hearts and in our lives. As Christians, we serve a new King, a new Master. We are ones who seek to tell the truth, even if it's inconvenient. We want to have a revived resolution, resolve to be a truthful person or a truthful people to the glory of God. That our yeses would be yes and our noes would be no. And that we'd have such a testimony in what we say that people would see us and say, that person is a Christian and his yes is yes or her yes is yes and his no is no or her no is no. And we believe them. Christians will love the truth and will seek to be truthful. Also, we need to surround ourselves with those who are truthful. What benefit is it to our souls to be constantly reading news stories and say, I don't even know if this is true or not? And then we have to filter through it and find out what is the truth in all of this. Oftentimes, the best friend as well is the one who tells us the most truth. That doesn't mean opinionated people or being opinionated towards someone, being rude to them, but speaking truth into their lives. Speaking truth in love. Loving someone enough to be and speak truth to them, even when it's painful. It hurts to hear truth sometimes about us, doesn't it? But we are members of one another, bound together, union with Christ. Being truthful to one another without exaggeration, without flattery. There should be no question of the validity of our statements to one another. To be truthful is to be respected and to be trusted. So we want robust reconciliation if there has been lies in your life. Admitting to lies specifically. Then telling the truth. Not covering up sin. When you're found in sin or when someone suspects you of sin, not to cover up it. When someone confronts you with sin. When your spouse confronts you with a sin in your life, do you seek to cover it up and lie to him or her about it? Or do you say, yes, you're right, I've sinned? We ought not to be a people who believe the lies that the world is telling us. Many, many lies, but God is the God of truth. Exodus 34:6. The Lord your God, passionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness and truth. Hebrews 6:18, it's impossible for God to lie. And we as Christians, we have the God of truth. And we have the Word of truth, His Word, the God-breathed Word, the Word of God. Do you desire any here, out here who do not know Christ, do you desire to be rescued from the domain of darkness where the father of lies rules? Think about that. If you're not in Christ, you're in the kingdom of darkness where the father of lies rules. Or do you want to be thrusted into the kingdom of God where Christ reigns? The way, the truth, and the life. That no one comes to God the Father but by Christ. There are many lies in this world about eternity. Many lies about that there's so many ways to God. But there is only one truth. One door to heaven. One way. One crucified Savior. One Lord of all. And only one chance. And that's in this life. We do not know our last day on this earth. One chance through Christ. Such lies, we are told, you can be good enough to go to heaven. When the truth is, only saved and converted and born again people go to heaven. Lies that there are many ways to heaven. But the truth is, it's through Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As I just said, He is the way, the truth, and the life. I'll read one more scripture for you this morning, and then I'll get some practical applications. My mind and my heart has brought me back to Romans chapter 5, verse 6. For while we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. So anyone who is in here that is a Christian was at one time ungodly, and Christ died for you. For one would hardly die for a righteous man. Though perhaps for a good man, someone would dare even to die. But God demonstrates His own love towards us. And while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Oh, what a love that Christ would die for us. Much more than having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through Him. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. Be reconciled to God. You can be reconciled to God today if you have not been. By repenting of your sins and turning to Christ. Practical applications for us. If you are a liar this morning, you know who you are and God knows who you are. And you need to repent. You need to get right with Jesus Christ. You are on the road to hell. If you're a Christian and you tell lies, you're prone to lying, or you're convicted this morning on lies you've told perhaps. You realize that you have lied. Or you're in the middle of a lie in your life or living a lie. Now's the time to get right with God. To confess your sin and seek forgiveness. Oh, how much forgiveness, how rich it is, the forgiveness of God. And how immense His grace is. And then when you do that, you go to the one who you lied to, regardless of how they will react, regardless of the consequences, and you say, I have told a lie. I have not been truthful with you. I have been convicted by God. Will you forgive me? And you tell what it was. And then you tell the truth. Maybe you struggle with lying, or you're planning to tell a lie. It is better for your souls and in honoring to God to be truthful. Finally, cultivate a life of being truthful. Cultivating a life of being truthful. By first digesting the truth, first that we digest the truth, and then we tell the truth. This is what James Boyce says. He says, we lie unintentionally because we are not in the habit of rigorously cultivating truth in our lives. Again, James Montgomery Boyce. We lie unintentionally because we are not in the habit of rigorously cultivating truth in our lives. Fifth, last application. Be patient with those who have a history of lying, that have repented of it. That have repented of it. And that they're being truthful once again. and we say, whoa, there's a work in this man or woman's life. And we want to be compassionate with those who are putting that sin away and want to be truthful. And we want to help them to be truthful. Let's pray. Father, thank you that your word is true. Your word is true. God, there are so many falsehoods surrounding us in this life. It's hard to know what to believe anymore, Lord, but we know we can believe you. We know we can believe your word. Lord, for any of us in here who are prone to telling lies, or we are maybe told a lie recently, O Lord, bring that to our heart, to our mind, O God. Let us be a people quick to confess that sin, Lord, and it not even be named among us. This is just one of many sins that could be named among us, Lord, and let it not be. Help us in this, O Lord, we need you. Lord, we also ask that again, Lord, any that are in here who do not know you, Lord, that you would work a work of grace in their hearts, Lord, that they may know the love of Christ this day, that they may be forgiven of sins, for you wash and wipe away our sins. For those who confess their sins to you and forsake them, thank you that you're a merciful God and you're gracious to us. Help us to love you in Jesus' name. Amen.